He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And everybody read the rest of that verse. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Reading together verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Hallelujah. My text is that verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. My message tonight will be entitled, Beware of the Stranger. Beware of the Stranger. Let us pray. Our God, have your way tonight. Move in this service as only thou canst move. I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint the lips of clay and the ears to hear. I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Fill someone with the Holy Ghost tonight. I know you will if they'll but surrender. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. In searching for a proper relationship with God, we must do things the way God wants them done. We've already learned from Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. From Romans 11, verse 33, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There must be some identification, some road signs, some landmarks, some indisputable way that we may know what is right. And then once we know it, to do it. We must beware of counterfeits, of frauds, of false faces and costumes and masks. We must know that which is genuine and certified and validated, confirmed and thoroughbred. We will not be satisfied with that which is not right. Beware of the stranger. Hebrews 13 and 9 carries the admonition. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Trinitarianism, three separate distinct persons of God, is a strange doctrine. Hell is but a myth that exists in the mind is a strange doctrine. To preach Jesus was Michael the Archangel is a strange doctrine. To stand and tell a lost and a dying world you can't have the Holy Spirit evidenced by speaking in tongues, you can't be healed supernaturally, is a strange doctrine. To talk about there is no second imminent return of Jesus Christ, there will not be any tribulation period, nor battle of Armageddon, nor 1,000 years of millennial reign, nor will they be a final onslaught of satanic forces against the Lord. Nor will they be a white throne of judgment is a strange doctrine. I made up my mind a long time ago, even if I don't understand the Word of God, I'm going to accept it just like it says it is. The Bible gives to us this qualification in Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now it said he gave. Much like 1 Corinthians 12:28, when it said God has sent some in the church Firstly, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. After that, teachers. Then miracles and gifts of healing, governments, helps, and so on. My point is, if God set these things in the church, I want to know the name of the man and by what authority that took them out. It's a strange doctrine when you start preaching something that's not Bible. Ephesians 4:11 tells us of the fivefold ministry that he gave for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I don't believe Confucianism is right. Buddhism is right. Zoroastrianism is right. Jim Jones-ism is right. I don't believe Mr. Mooney-ism is right. I don't believe in all the isms of the world. I believe the Bible is right. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, edifying of itself in love. In other words, the Lord gave the church everything it needs to lead a triumphant, victorious, overcoming life. We don't need strange songs, strange theories, strange ideas, strange methods, strange procedures. We don't need the occult and the far out. We don't need the humanism and philosophies of men. What we need is nothing but the Word of God. We are commanded to beware in the second chapter of Colossians, verse 4, that we be beguiled through the, I call it the slick tongue artistry of men. And in verse 8 it said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now I've made up my mind. You can believe what you want to believe. But if the Bible don't preach it, I'm not believing it. When it comes to salvation, the ordinances of the church, the methodology, the procedure, the correct format, the proper attitude, and the correct way to dress, how to treat one another, inner and intrapersonal relationships, how to baptize, what's the Godhead, who is the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, what do we do in worship, should we clap hands or not, raise hands or not, pat our feet or not, sing out loud or not, have music or not, should we preach hellfire and brimstone in hell or the lake of fire? What should we do? I made up my mind. I'm going to say what the Bible's got to say. Jesus says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. It is inherent in the fallen tendency of man's nature to try to find another way, to take the path of least resistance, to do what he wants to do and expect everything to come out all right. But Jesus said, if you climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Hallelujah. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Not Jim Jones, not Mr. Moody, not Confucius or Astor, not Abigail Van Buren, or not Ann Landers, nor your mother, nor your father, nor your brother, nor your sisters. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Oh, there's an identification.
congregation. I can tell whether someone's got the Holy Ghost or not when they sing, when they preach, when they worship. You can tell when their spirit's right. You can ascertain if they're in the right doctrine, doing the right thing, preaching the right gospel. You do not have to wait 49 years. The Word of God will scrutinize, analyze, and the Word of God will reveal where we stand.
Titus 2:1 said to speak the things that become sound doctrine. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1:10 that to resist anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. Again, we'll remind it, if you please, that 1 Corinthians 1:10 also said that we all should speak the same thing. Paul got on the church at Corinth for everyone having a psalm, everyone had a hymn, and everyone had a doctrine. We can't all come together and everything and everybody believe every which way we want to believe. Now, somebody's wrong. Somebody is not right. And I'm here to tell you, friend, there's not but one criteria and way. It's the Word of God. The Bible tells me they should teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3. The Bible tells me, if you please, from the Word of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. And 2 Timothy 3 tells me all Scripture in verse 16 is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. You say, I don't believe in preaching doctrine. The whole Bible is doctrine, for it contains statements from Genesis to Revelation that you've got to take sides on. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. It is a divine proclamation concerning certain truths. Well, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Praise God. Romans 6:17 speaks, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. If I know anything, 2 Timothy 2:15 speaks of rightly dividing the word of truth. If anybody knew how to divide it, it was Peter and Paul and the disciples of the Lord. They knew just where to lay it down. You cannot improve upon their method of saving the lost of the world. It was repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. Well, Jesus is saying here, if you climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And then he said that his sheep heard his voice, and he leadeth them out, and they follow him, for they know his voice. Then verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Now, there's a lot of preachers on the radio and on TV and a lot of things that are put in pamphlet form and booklet form that you cannot believe because they are not Bible. I'm submitting to you, my friend, you better know the voice of God. And if I know anything, I know one thing. The Word of God is right. 9 times out of 9. And if anybody says anything contrary to the Word of God, automatically they're wrong and God is right. Well, Jesus is speaking a proper entrance into the sheepfold. I bring the classic confirmation here of a confrontation. Hear it. Satan was a fallen angel. Isaiah 14 verse 12. He committed sin in the beginning. 1 John 3:8, and introduced rebellion in the world. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. The devil was a fallen angel. 10:18 of Luke, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The many titles he wears like adversary, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, and accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12 verse 10, Belial, 2 Corinthians 6:15, Beelzebub, Matthew 12:24, God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Prince of the air, in Ephesians 2:2, and he's called the Prince of this world, 14:31, John 12:30 of John, and he's called the ruler of the darkness of this world, in 6:14 of the book of Ephesians. He's against you if you love God.
He don't love you, and I'm fixing to put it on him now. He's an interloper. He's a counterfeiter. He's a short circuiter. He's a liar and a murderer. John 8:44. He don't care about your salvation. He will invent ideas, philosophies, and opinions that will lead you astray from church and put you into the occult or black magic or witchcraft or horoscope or even astrology charts or all kinds of that type of activity. But you better mark her down. He did not come by the door into the sheepfold. It wasn't the devil that died on the cross. It wasn't the devil that raised the dead. It wasn't the devil that cleansed the leper. It wasn't the devil that opened a blinded eye. It wasn't the devil that gave you back your sanity. It wasn't the devil that gave you the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the devil that delivered you from drugs, that delivered you from alcohol. It wasn't the devil that gave you a song in the night and clapping in your hands and running in your feet. It wasn't the devil that bound up your broken heart. It wasn't the devil that set your captive spirit free. He is a liar and a murderer. He is a counterfeiter. He did not come by the door into the sheep. He says he identifies with your sorrow through the enticing, seductive ads of alcoholism and of dope addiction and of other sensual, sexual, perverted activities. The release can come, saith he. But you damnable, rotten devil, you've never had human nature. You don't know how to identify with the tears that come down my cheek and the pain that's in my heart. You don't know what it means to have the load I've had on me, devil. You've never worn the mantle of human flesh. But I know who did. That came from glory to glory. I know who laid aside a purple robe of regal royalty for a peasant's gown. I know who had the angelic hails of heaven, and he gave himself to the murderous nails of men. In other words, Jesus Christ came by the door into the sheepfold. He put on the mantle of human flesh. He wore it from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He knew what it was to have pain. He knew what it was to suffer the loss of a friend. He knew what it was to have a traitor's kiss. He knew what it was to plead and agonize over a lost city or a lost soul. He knew what it was to try to bring revival to hypocrites and to perverted souls. Jesus knew what it was to agonize over the death of a friend and call him back to life again. Not the devil, but Jesus. Not the devil, but Jesus. Not the devil, but Jesus. When I read such verses as in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Woo! Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The devil cannot identify with you intimately, personally, distinctly. He has a charade, a mask, and a costume. He acts like he's your friend. He acts like he understands your pain. But when you dance to his music, he'll dance you into the lake of fire. When you drink his booze and shoot his dope and lie in his bed of adultery, you'll face an angry God by and by. But I know one that can identify. I know one that can identify. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
nobody has ever loved me like Jesus has. Nobody has ever understood me like Jesus has. Even the same can be said for you. And when your mind is titillated and mesmerized and hypnotized and beguiled by a seducing spirit that says, walk out on the Lord, on the church, on holiness, on real worship. Go on out there. That's the same voice that beguiled Eve in the garden. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And he's an interloper. He scaled the wall to come in the sheepfold. He didn't take on the mantle of flesh and suffer as a man. He cannot identify with you because he never will be able to wear a mantle of flesh. And you'll be a silly dove without heart. You will be a fool if you allow the devil to lead you down the primrose path to destruction. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I read in 2 of Hebrews verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you ought to look at yourself physiologically. You are flesh, you are blood. You know moments of despair and moments of sadness, sorrow, weakness, sickness. You know all the emotions that runs the gamut of human nature. Jesus Christ, the Bible speaks of him, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, I like this verse, to be made like unto his brethren. That's the verse I use to call a title of Christ, our elder brother. It behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren. Jesus wore the same kind of flesh that I wore. He knew the same pain that I had. No devil can ever say that. No demon can ever say that. No imp can ever say that. No power of hell can ever make that statement. But Jesus did. But Jesus can. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Succor means help or aid. Now don't go off on a drunken binge or a dope hallucination, or just quit coming to church and lose yourself in the world because you think nobody can identify with my sorrow or my pain. Nobody understands me. Read that verse of Jesus. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, he'll be the best friend you've ever had. That'll stick closer than a brother. Proverbs 18 verse 24. Why do I say this? Because of a many faceted group of scriptures like the Word was made flesh. John 1:14, and the Word was God. John 1:1. It was made flesh. Not angelic, but flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, not angelic, seraphimic, or cherubimic nature, but in the flesh. Why? I read this morning, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, which our eyes have seen, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, handled, heard, seen, made of a woman, Galatians 4:6. Philippians 2:5. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made. The physiological conformity and the biological maturity of the human body in the womb of Mary went through all the 9 months that you and I did. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Not at the name of Lucifer, not at the name of Satan, not at the name of Abaddon, or at the name of that great dragon, or the old serpent, or the murderer, or the liar. I'm not bowing before that name, but at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's the reason I don't believe there's three persons of God. I don't believe that. Because if you say Jesus was standing on the right hand of the Father, literally, then you're admitting the Father's got a right hand. If he's got a right hand, he's got a right knee. You're going to anthropomorphize God. If he's got a right hand, he's got a right knee. If he's got a left hand, he's got a left knee. And it was said of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And so you got God the Father kneeling down and bowing to Jesus. How can God bow to God without ungodding himself? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is God with us, Matthew 1:23. Amen? And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My point is this. He left the ivory palaces of angelic hails and heavenly worship to enter this veil of tears, this sphere of human sadness, sin, sorrow, disease, and iniquity. He left the battlements of glory, where the roses never fade and the rivers never freeze, and no cemeteries ever on a hillside of glory. He left all of that to come to this planet Earth. For the book said in 59:16 of Isaiah, he looked and saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, a go-between, a mediator, someone to help. Therefore, his arm brought salvation. Translated in the street language we understand, God looked and there was no man able. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Aaron, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, Eli, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. None was able. None was worthy. God said, there's no intercessor. There's nobody to help. The depravity of fallen man. But he didn't leave us alone. You know what he did? God said, well, I guess I'll have to go. He made bare his holy arm. He came to us because we couldn't go to him. He reached further down than we could reach up. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. Oh, that wasn't a devil. That wasn't a demon. That was God in the form of man. Praise God. Beware of the stranger. It was the blood of Jesus, not Satan, that purchased the church. Revelation 1:5, Acts 20:28. It was the name of Jesus that remits sin, not the name of Lucifer or Satan. Luke 24:47, Acts 10:43, Acts 2:40, Acts 2:38, and 1 John 2:12. It is His church, not Satan's. Satan's not going to have a church. That's the biggest farce there ever was. There's not but one body. Ephesians 4:4 said there's just one. So get out of here, the devil. You ain't going to have a church. You may think you do, but you ain't got any, because you haven't got any blood to shed to buy one. And your name ain't big enough to remit one little pack of cigarette and its sins, big boy. You're not able to heal one fevered brow. You're not able to stitch up one facet of the cockles of any man's heart. You're not able to take away one little shot of whiskey from an inebriated, intoxicated dipsomaniac. Absolute reality. I said reality. Absolute reality. I said reality. Absolute reality. I got life. I got life. Oh, the graveyard's not my final zip code, mama. No, the tombstone's not my last address. I got life. I got life. I'm gonna live again. I'm gonna live again. I'm not trying to benumb your mentality. But I want to tell you, when the sun goes out like a candle in the wind, and the stars crawl into their sepulchres, and the moon turns into blood, and the mountains become molehills, and the pyramids piles of sand, and the gushing Niagaras and Victoria Falls are turned off like kitchen faucets, I will have scarcely begun my eternal existence, my everlasting immortal perpetuity. I'll live on and on and on and on and on and on. Can I have 5 more minutes? Won't be any lame legs over there. Someone said there'll be no old folks in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? No cancer over there. No dim vision. No dull of hearing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No false teeth either. Woo! No arthritis. Oh, there'll be no heart attacks. No paralyses. No lumbago. And bless God, your get up and go won't have got up and went either. But a million trillion compounded years to the nth degree, you will still have scarcely begun. For as long as there is a God, you will have life. 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 I am come that you might have life. 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 And that you might have it more abundantly. As I hurry to a conclusion, the sad story, many believe that Christianity is a drudgery, a chore, and a burden you must of necessity wear, is but one of the devil's slickest psychological tools to put negative thinking in your brain. If I go to that church, it's the end of my natural blessings. I got to sit there with a sour look on my face and just be sober as a judge and just go and endure and try not to fall in sin. I can't be happy anymore. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Rest. Rest. Rest under your souls. For my yoke is hard and
burdensome and heavy, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I close this revival like I've closed, I guess, hundreds of others with a plea and admonition summarized in my text. Beware of the stranger. You've got the greatest thing you've ever had. Don't lose it. Be ever thankful that your God came through the door of human existence and you can relate to Him. Not to an interloper that climbed the wall and doesn't know the worth of a human tear, nor the pain of a human heart. Beware of the stranger. Are you glad you repented one day? Would you recommend to others to do the same? Are you glad you went to the water and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Would you recommend to others to do the same? Are you thrilled for the day He filled you with the Holy Spirit and you spoke in other tongues and came out of that sewer pipe? Would you recommend that others do the same tonight? Then my text is summarized in my sermon in this final reading that I wish you to repeat after me. Everybody say, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. On your feet and praise Him tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just as I am without.
It comes time to give you a chance to come and pray.
But
if there be any tonight that must surely realize Jesus is the only friend you'll ever have that can save your soul. That the devil is a liar. Would you make your way to this altar tonight? Would you come tonight? If your condition is such that you're lukewarm and you need to really, really pray through, would you let this be the night you rededicate your heart to God? Come, my friend. I didn't touch on all the things I had desired to. There is security in the sheepfold that you cannot find anywhere else. Someone that really loves you, not for your money and not for your name and not for your body, but they really love you for what you are, a human soul. His name is Jesus. I ask you to come tonight. How about it? Come on. Come on tonight in Jesus' name. Come on tonight. A few of you brothers and sisters, come and start gathering around. Help these pray. Would you make your way with them tonight? Would you make your way with them tonight?
A wonder flood to thee whose can this be?
Would you make your way tonight? The final night of our revival campaign,
Would everybody come forward and let's stand together as a family? Would everybody come forward and let's stand together? Everybody in the building, please come. Everybody, please come. And let's stand together and worship together the God of our salvation. Come on. Would you raise your hands as you stand there and worship Him? By the hand, brother with a brother, sister, sister, unless it's your family. Raise the hand with yours and let's pray together tonight. Let's pray together. Hallelujah.